choice for the 2024 presidential election is already clear. We have President Biden, who's a good man. He's passed historic policy, and he cares about the American people. But what do the Republicans have? Donald Trump, the disgraced, twice impeached former president who's been indicted. He tried to incite an insurrection at our Capitol. He tried to overturn a free and fair election. Yeah, let's stick with common sense and not conspiracy. Let's stick with fact and not fiction. And in 2024, we're going to reelect President Biden, and we're going to finish the job. A choice for the 2024 presidential.
Let me preface this by saying I find this entire delivery very annoying, but I say that in full awareness of confession through projection, or, you know, criticizing in others what we might feel true about ourselves. I appreciate that I've been called manic. And, you know, when I do my car vlogs, people tell me to stop shouting at the camera, or at least they did back in the day. Nowadays, people are saying, Viva, go back to the car vlogs. I love them. The long stream, long, you know, format stuff is not for me. So I don't know if that's why this is so annoying to me, or it's the fact that it's like rubbish being thrown at your face. It's George Orwell described it as the 2 minutes of hate. Now it's like 30 seconds of hate. I think if he were speaking the truth and actually making sense and being factually correct, I don't mind a deluge of accurate information. But I've got to go through it. Like, first of all, also make your freaking bed, okay? Harry, this is Harry J. Sisson. Totally not a Democrat operative, totally not paid by the DNC because he hasn't received a dime from the DNC. He works for Palette Management, a social media influencing firm or whatever the heck Palette Management is. And they contract with the DNC. He totally is not paid by the DNC. He hasn't taken a dime from the DNC, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, the deep state. He also apparently hasn't listened to Jordan Peterson. Make your freaking bed. Look at that. Make your bed. Or if you're going to do a hotel vlog, because I've done a few of them, don't show your bed in the background. Or do it in the morning. Before, no, that wouldn't make any sense. Do it after house cleaning or, you know, the room cleaning comes in and makes the bed. Or just make your freaking bed in the morning. My wife tries to get me to make the bed. Doesn't happen. She gets our kids to make the bed. It's a good habit. So, let's just hear this deluge of disinformation. I love that. Deluge of disinformation. The alliteration is quite alluring.
The choice for the 2024 presidential election is already clear. We have President Biden, who's a good man.
President Biden, who is a good man. Now, I'll stop it there. A president can be a bad man and a good president. A president can be a good man and a bad president. My grandmother, may she rest in peace. She died at 103 years old. Oddly enough, you know, my grandmother made me aware of what's going on with Joe Biden. My grandmother, whenever we as kids would do something absolutely terrible, like I was a troublemaker of a kid, one day I'll get into it. I promise you, if I get on Joe Rogan, I've got stories of my childhood that I've never gotten. I have to say something new if I get on Rogan, but I would do terrible things as a kid. And my grandmother's first reaction, whenever she would be the one involved in finding out, he's a good boy. One refers to someone as a good man or as a good boy or as a, you know, a defensive good person as a defense to the fact that what they're doing is not good. And I question you, Harry J. Sisson, how you know that Joe Biden is a good man. You might think he's a good president and be a foul person. That might be a fairly accurate sentiment that many people have vis-a-vis Trump. He's a good president, but he's a philanderer. He's a bad businessman. He's a car. Oh, you can hate the person and understand that they do their job well. I have known plenty of doctors who are foul, foul human beings, but probably the doctor that you would want holding the knife, administering the anesthesia. I was going to say the euthanasia, but I got mixed up with Trudeau. So being a good person and being good at your job are two different things, unless your job requires you being a good person, which is not the case with presidents who literally have to kill people. Presidents literally have to be responsible for the death of humans, the destruction of nations, for sending young, bright-eyed youth to death. Pretty much to be a good president, you might actually have to not be a stereotypically good person, because a stereotypically good person can't send people off to death. All right, so there's that.
He's passed historic policy, and he's
passed historic policy. Example? But there's no room for examples in the deluge of disinformation.
Cares about the American people.
He cares about the American people. Well, he's got a funny way of showing it. Do you know how many people in America died from drug overdoses last year. I want to get back to this, actually. I want to get his face out of this. Well, that's an unfortunate pause. I'll get back to the cares about the America. 105,000 people died of overdose. 70-plus thousand from fentanyl overdose. I think in 2022 alone. Oh, he cares about the American people. Open the borders. Let the drugs come in. Let it kill a generation. Oddly enough, you know, a young generation, that would be the soldier age generation. Some might say that that plays into, you know, a Chinese fentanyl warfare on the fighting age generation of America. Some might say that. I'm not saying I do, but it certainly makes sense. Oh, he loves America. That's why he's shipping hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine while 100 plus thousand Americans die from drug overdose. With love like that, who needs hate?
But what do the Republicans have? Donald Trump, the disgrace, twice impeached former...
Twice impeached, twice acquitted. This is where low-information voters get headlines. Twice impeached, A, means nothing now that we know how little impeachment means to Democrats. Weaponize it, abuse of language until it means nothing. But then you get to have the headline, twice impeached. Oh, and by the way, here, who was this?
For president who's been indicted, he tried to incite...
Indicted. Indicted president. He's been indicted on something that he wasn't even impeached for. Let that sink in. Impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors. Is that what it is? That's how they describe it. High crimes and misdemeanors. Trump has been indicted out of office for something that he was not impeached for while in office. Twice impeached for bullshit. Twice acquitted because it was bullshit. But now Harry J. Sisson, totally not funded by the DNC, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, the deep state, as he said it, gets to run the headlines.
An insurrection at our Capitol.
Incited insurrection. Protest peacefully. We are the party of law and order. Peacefully and patriotically. I can understand why when someone of Harry J. Sisson's crowd hears peacefully and patriotically, they think insurrection.
He tried to overturn a free and fair election? Yeah.
All right, we're done. I invited Harry J. Sisson on for a podcast. He is always welcome to come on for an interview. I would love to have him. Just appreciate, people, George Orwell's 2 minutes of hate is TikTok. It is politically motivated actors on TikTok. Oh, you know, it's a good day when having 2 hours might not even be enough. We've got 2 hours today, 2 hours, and then we've got our exclusive stuff on Locals afterwards. Let me just make sure that we're live everywhere. I should have done this before. No one's been complaining in the chat that I can see. Good. We're live there. We're live on Rumble. We'll do it live, people. We are live on Locals, where EJ Hosedill says this guy is batshit crazy. I think he's just batshit motivated. Financial motivation can make young people really believe in what they're saying. And the other thing is this, his defense to being accused of being a DNC shill is he really believes in what he's saying. That, hey, though, being believing in what you're saying and being paid by the party on behalf of whom you're saying it are not mutually exclusive. Where it's really insidious is when they are not aligned. Oh, so yeah, there's a whole controversy as to whether or not Harry J. Sisson, it's not his brother, it's a kid who actually just looks like his brother, I forget the other guy's name, whether or not they're being paid by the DNC. And they've come out with defenses that simply make no defense. This one was from the other day. I won't play this video. That's the other guy. Their defense was, we have not taken a dime from the DNC. We might have to play this. Oi.
We haven't seen a dime of that $200,000. Like, do you really think I would dress like this if I had $200,000?
We haven't seen a dime of that $200,000. And you can see how people lie truthfully. We haven't, because the whole rumor or the whole discovery is that this company, DNC had given or paid, had retained Palette Management for $210,000 to create social media, for their social media content. They gave $210,000 to Palette Management. Harry Sisson and that other kid are signed with Palette Management. It's right there in their bios. in their bios, it's not that Palette Management does the social media work for the DNC or is remunerated on retainer by the DNC, but it's in their bio that it's Harry at Palette Management, whatever the heck the email is. How to lie while telling the truth? We haven't seen a dime of that $210,000, but we've seen a dime from Palette Management because they pay us. I mean, it's literally the way kids think they can get away with lies. It's the way dumb kids, and I say this with respect to children, it's the way dumb children think they can get away with lies. And it's not that I'm teaching my kids how to lie, period. I teach my kids how not to think that they're going to get away with lying because, you know, not much separates kids from adults except for the manner in which they try to conceal their deceit. But when you're a kid, you're an idiot. Oh, I didn't get a dime of that $210,000, but I did get payments. But it wasn't for that post. It was just for stuff at large. So the whole conspiracy or the scandal is that these kids haven't received a dime of that $210,000, which they acknowledge the DNC actually paid to Palette Management by the DNC for social media. They are hired by or work with DNC, not the DNC, Palette Management. And their defense also is that we were reimbursed expenses for going on these trips. Hold on, let me see it. Where is it? Oh, son of a bee sting. We were reimbursed for these trips, but we didn't get paid. We believe in our message, but someone's paying, you know, I won't say lavish. I don't know what hotels they were staying at. Do I have the article? Why did I not bring up the article? Whatever. So there's an article. I put it up in my Twitter. Semantics. But I would like to have Harry come on. Hey, Harry, twice impeached for what? The high crimes and misdemeanors as per the Constitution. You think that was inciting an insurrection? And if you do, okay, you think he was inciting an insurrection when he said, protest peacefully, we are on the side of law and order. It's over, go home. Oh. There was something else that I wanted to say there. No, that's it. That's with the citizens. Good morning, everybody. When 2 hours is not necessarily going to be enough, I went for a jog this morning. There's an outside chance I might have to take a pee break because I went for a jog. And when I came back, I jacked up on bubbly water and minerals to replenish the salts. And I might have to pee. Maybe I'll hold it in. Then I'm going to go get the kids after school and I'm going to the beach this afternoon. Get the jog out of the way, get the work out of the way. The water, if you go to, I don't know if people know this, there's a Deerfield Beach underwater camera. Hold on, I got to show you this. Deerfield Beach live cam. There's a Deerfield Beach underwater camera and the water was so damn clear. Oh, look at this. I mean, this is going to blow your mind. Deerfield Beach. I hear it now. So look at this, people. Those are called lookdown fish. That's a bait ball. I should be there now fishing. Oh, they're moving here. A big fish is going to come through on the top left. Oh, right there. There it is on the bottom. I should be there right now. Okay. I'm just going to put this on pause. So the Deerfield Beach has an underwater camera, and it's amazing. Yeah, get the bait net, says Garrett Pace. So we're gonna talk today. Propaganda. Canada. I was listening to Dean Blundell this morning, podcast with Michael Geist. Now, for those of you who don't know who Dean Blundell is, I don't often impugn the characters of humans, but if you go follow Dean Blundell's Twitter feed, or even don't follow it, but track it, you know, survey it, very few people would qualify Dean Blundell's modus operandi as being a good person. He might be a good person and he might be playing a persona on social media. But I do think that people who specifically dox people, either they are very bad people or they are people doing very bad things, however you want to see it. Dean Blundell doxed, or at least partook in the doxing of all of the people who contributed to who donated to the trucker convoy. Dean Blundell has something of a controversial history. You can look it up. He was on radio, kicked off for saying, I think he was kicked off for saying offensive things. He partook in doxing the donors to the trucker convoy. So I qualify that as if he's not a bad man, he's a man doing bad things. He had a podcast with Michael Geist, G-E-I-S-T, about a month ago in March. So March, April, yeah, about a month and a half ago. Talking about Bill C-11, which just passed, which just received royal assent last week. And I can't believe this is the first live stream on my own that I've done since then, because I think it happened Thursday. Bill C-11, the Online Streaming Act, passed, has received royal assent. And I said, time of death of Canada, 6:55 last Thursday, because I think that's when it received royal assent. He did a podcast with Michael Geist. And we're going to talk about, not the podcast, but the passing of Bill C-11 and what I like to, you know, not like to, but what I unfortunately think now is the passing of Canada. People don't understand it. They don't appreciate it. But what I was segueing Dean Blundell into this is that Dean Blundell, I'm listening to this guy. I'm listening to Michael Geist. Michael Geist is a doctor of law, professor at University of Ottawa, immensely intelligent. And he's a nice guy. He doesn't have a toxic Twitter feed. He doesn't dox people. I don't think he condones doxing either. I'm listening to two people who I suspect are lefties. I think they are, you know, who don't like the conservative government. I'm sitting there listening to Dean Blundell lament, and I'm using his words, the dictatorial nature of Justin Trudeau. The fact that Justin Trudeau, in his dealings over Bill C-11, has basically given the big middle finger to all of Canadians. Dishonest, non-transparent, authoritarian. At the end of the podcast, when Michael Geist was no longer on, Dean went on to say, like, you know, it's a big fuck you. This, Trudeau just said fuck you to 35 million Canadians. And now the Canadians are left there eating shit. I'm quoting him. I'm quoting him because I'm listening to a podcast of a man criticizing the dictatorial nature of a corrupt government that is passing legislation for whom the beneficiaries are the government themselves or the government-subsidized state media. And he's saying this in real time at the same time as he's saying the truckers are our enemy. The truckers are terrorists. The truckers should not have been doing what they were doing protesting in Ottawa. I can't understand if it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Everybody knows it. The word for intellectual confusion, cognitive dissonance. I can't tell if it's cognitive dissonance or it's just that Dean Blundell and his ilk don't care about authoritarianism so long as they are the beneficiaries of it. Dean Blundell, in that podcast, is shitting on Rebel News. Oh, yeah, there's got to be some baseline for truth on the internet, but this is too far because now the government's determining what's true, and it might get me. It's either extreme cognitive dissonance, total stupidity, but I don't think Dean lacks intelligence. I think he lacks other human features, but I don't think he lacks intelligence. It's either extreme cognitive dissonance, or it's just extreme authoritarianism. They don't mind dictators. They don't mind authoritarians. They don't mind tyrannical rules, so long as they can rest assured that they are the beneficiaries of it. The only thing that people, communists, socialists, Maoists, the only thing that they don't understand, all of Stalin's men ended up on the wall as well. And I'm not, this is, don't anyone misconstrue this as a threat. There's no but to this. This is literal. Everyone who partook in Stalinism eventually ended up being executed by the regime. Why? Because when you have no principles and you have no moral compass, no objective standards and guidelines, the revolution devours its own. And so while some people say, look, I don't mind authoritarianism so long as I'm the beneficiary of it, you will eventually end up being eaten by that authoritarianism. So it's either cognitive dissonance, or I just want to be I just want to be assured that under this authoritarian regime, I will be the beneficiary. I have a sneaking suspicion it's the latter and not the former. But the bottom line, Canada passed Bill C-11, and it's not nothing. It's not nothing. On the one hand, my prediction came true, and it's not with any bit of glee. It's the end. It's the end of people's livelihoods. It's the end of people's ability to speak truth to power on the internet. I'm not being hyperbolic when I say this is, to a meaningful extent, the end of Canada for the time being. Bill C-11, we've talked about it at length. It's the Online Streaming Act. It was intended to govern online streaming content, Disney, Netflix, Hulu. It was intended to govern streaming on the internet the way the CRTC under the Broadcasting Act governed radio and television. And there's some logic to it. I mean, there's some logic to it if you think that the Broadcasting Act was legitimate in the first place. You know, impose Canadian content requirements, have an administrative body that governs radio and television to ensure that the content protects Canadian content. That's a load of shit, because CBC, CanCon covers Brittany Griner, the presidential elections. What it was protection for Crown corporations, effectively. You know, CBC, Radio-Canada, it was a way of, it's soft censorship. Nothing less and maybe more. But this law, this C-11 was coming in to amend the Broadcasting Act to call it the Online Streaming Act, to add to the governing capability of the CRTC and the Broadcasting Act, online streaming. Why? Because nobody watches TV anymore. Nobody listens to radio anymore. And if you do, what you're stuck listening to, CBC or CJAD, daytime toxic hate radio. I hate CJAD. I hate CJAD. And I dislike many of the people who broadcast at CJAD who have blocked me on Twitter because they're a bunch of raging cowards who spew hatred and cannot bear looking in the mirror. I consider myself to be the mirror. This damn camera keeps coming back on. I turned the Insta controller, turn it off. There you go. So the online, we talked about it. We don't need to go over it. It was intending to govern the internet streamers, Disney, Hulu, Netflix, etc., the same way they governed radio and television. If you don't agree with the initial law, as I don't, you won't agree with it anymore for that. But that's what it was supposed to do. This was under Michel Guilbeault, the other minister of heritage, the guy who comes in and says, our objective is not to go after independent content creators. Okay, so this was Bill C-10. It died because they had an election. It came back as Bill C-11. There was a specific exclusion amended into this law that said we will not go after individual user-generated content social media accounts. In the dead of night, the liberals withdrew that exclusion. And then, like a bunch of, you know, lying children, come and say, it's not a big deal that we took out the exclusion. We don't want to target user-generated content, individual social media accounts. Well, if you don't want to target it, why not leave the exclusion in? Bottom line, they then come and say, yeah, we might go after user-generated content if they act like broadcasters. The bill C-11 went to the Senate. The Senate had more meaningful hearings objecting to this bullshit law than the House had in drafting this bullshit law. They sent it back with recommendations to the government. The government said, no thanks, but no thanks, piss off, and we're passing the law anyhow, and it received royal assent. I pulled up an article. That's the rundown. Here we go. Online. Liberals' online streaming bill, C-11, passes Parliament. When was this? Oh, 6:56, last Thursday, I think. After years of political pushback and considerable parliamentary scrutiny, the federal Liberal government's Online Streaming Act, known as Bill C-11, passed the Senate and has become law. Thursday evening, Bill C-11 cleared its final legislative hurdle in the Senate, seeing senators agree to bill sponsor Canadian heritage. What the heck? Whatever. They take some and leave some approach to the amendments. This clears the path for the contentious bill focused on substantively reforming the Broadcasting Act for the first time since 91 to take into consideration online content. Senators voting 52-16 on a motion informing the House of Commons that the Senate agreed with the version bill. The Senate makes recommendations, sends it back to the House. They say, yeah, we'll take some. We're not going to take the bigger ones. And then the Senate, which recommended the changes, votes on the version of the law that doesn't incorporate all of their changes. 52-16. Royal assent was granted at 6:55 p.m. Eastern Time. Time of death of Canada. Bill C-11 is aimed at ensuring increasingly popular and profitable social media platforms and streaming services such as Netflix, yada, 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 and YouTube are subjected to Canadian content requirements and regulations comparable to traditional broadcasters. The policy comes with a requirement for these platforms to spend millions investing in content. It sounds good. The road to hell is paved in good intentions. I have no doubt every Stalinist rule, regulation, law, every, I don't want to compare it to some, you can compare things to Stalin, you can't compare them to Hitler, but I have no doubt that all of these, in hindsight, tyrannical fascist laws, they had a benevolent purpose to them. I have no doubt, because you can't pass a law on evil. So, oh yeah, it's great. It's going to be great for Canadian content. Who decides what's Canadian content? The CRTC. Oh, that's fine. But they're an independent company. They're an extension, a branch of government, effectively. Oh, but they're independent. They don't have government oversight. They just exist by virtue of. While the NDP and Bloc Québécois, as well as many in CanCon music, film, and television industries, have backed Bill C-11, NDP, Bloc Québécois, everybody sees their own method of gaining power through this law. Alarms have been sounded by critics that the Liberal proposal could have knock-on effects for content creators and what everyday users see online due to provisions that would require platforms to promote Canadian content. Oh, I'm swearing a lot. No shit, Sherlock. Oh, who would have thunk? Everyone said this is conspiracy theory. The government can't tell YouTube how to do its algorithm. Oh, I'm sorry. That's exactly what they're going to do. If it's not Canadian content, it will be demoted. It will be made not as discoverable as Canadian content. What's Canadian content? I have no doubt CBC reporting on Brittany Griner's memoirs will be Canadian content. That'll be promoted. Rebel News reporting on Justin Trudeau's ties to China. I have no doubt that will be not Canadian content, demoted. Oh, we're not censoring it. We're just not making it discoverable. In their efforts to lobby against the bill, some of the tech companies have gone at great lengths, such as YouTube. I've been getting the emails from my channel manager at YouTube. Whatever. Between the more than 100 amendments contemplated by the House of Commons and the longest study ever conducted by a Senate committee. This is true, by the way. Longest study ever conducted by a Senate committee, jammed through by the House like a colonoscopy, like a reckless colonoscopy. The minister responsible for Bill C-11 has reportedly emphasized the important contributions of parliamentarians. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Okay. We stand up. Yada, yada, yada. While the Conservatives has pledged to repeal BC-11, should they form a government, for now, seeing the online streaming app become law is a long-awaited political victory for the Liberals. Oh, it is. Hold on. You want to see what a victory it is? You want to see what a victory it is? When you see two politicians with shit-eating grins on their face, ear to ear. Let me get the picture up. When you see politicians smiling like this, you know what? This is used car salesman that just got you to buy the dud on the lot. And like, holy shit, I can't believe. Oh, enjoy your new car. Enjoy your road trip. I can't believe you bought it, Pablo. Do you know who these people are, by the way? That's Pablo Rodriguez. That's the new minister, the minister of heritage, whatever it is. You know who the guy on the left is? Jean-Yves Duclos. Do you know who Jean-Yves Duclos is? Ministre de la Santé du Canada. Canada's Minister of Health. You got Canada's Minister of Health and Canada's censorship czar with the... I mean, the shittiest of shit-eating grins on their faces. My brother had a very, very interesting take on this. Lion Law, by the way. Hold on. Let me grab this. Let me just go to Google. My brother had a great take. Lion Law off-label tweet. Let's see here. Lion Law. Is that what it is? Lion Law. He had a great, I'm going to have to steal his wisdom. You know that when you have the Minister of Health ecstatic at what the law that the government just passed, the Minister of Health hugging the Minister of Propaganda, Canada's newly appointed Minister of Propaganda, my brother said, well, you're going to have some very interesting off-label uses for that legislation. I didn't appreciate the genius of my brother's quote when he first said it. Off-label uses of that piece of legislation. Wow, they're going to be able to promote Canadian content. I'm sure it won't be politically motivated, disinformation oriented. No, those two politicians smiling ear to ear. We did it, you know. And you know who's not smiling ear to ear? Everyone in Canada, at least everyone in Canada who has the slightest bit of awareness. Even Dean Blundell, the man who thinks the truckers were the terrorists, the man who thinks that the protest was an occupation, the man who thinks that the people who donated to the convoy should be doxxed on his platform, harassed. Even he's like, holy crap, the government went too far this time. But they didn't go too far because they went too far. They went too far because they went too far in a way that can indirectly or directly hurt me. So no more covering the dissent or the smashing of it. Nice work, Canada. Let me bring up a couple of super chats, which I didn't bring up here yet that I see. Seize the day. Nice to see you again. Did PSAC strike block infrastructure and honkhorns? Did PSAC strike block infrastructure and honkhorns? I think they did. Well, I think they did. I'm fairly certain that the government was lamenting that essential services were going to be affected. Some wouldn't, but border crossings, passports, immigration papers, doesn't matter though. They protest for the, they don't mind authoritarianism so long as it's not going to be used against them. Ginger Ninja, what up, Ginger? Just received my Viva Fry merch shirts yesterday. Viva logo, Viva Barnes University. Oh, which I had that one on today when I went for a jog, but not before I went for a jog. Never forget, hold the line. Love the Chattanooga teaser. Hit me up when you get a chance. Ginger, will do. Thank you very much. I am the best. I'm not the best, but I don't mind being told I am. It will not get to my head because I don't think I am. I'm not the worst. So that's what's going on in Canada. It's the death of Canada. It's an amazing thing. And I'm not being hyperbolic. Bill C-11 Online Streaming Act. That is now going to allow the government, some administrative government body, to determine what's Canadian content and what gets promoted and what gets suppressed in terms of discoverability. It's not censorship. It's just discoverability. I mean, this is what we have ravaged the meaning of words. That's Bill C-11. Then Bill C-18. I forget what that one is called. That's the one basically where they want to force Google, YouTube to pay click-through links for any news that is linked on social media. And Google and YouTube have basically said, eat shit, Canada. I mean, I don't need to sit here and give you all of my revenue. But okay, we will not diffuse news in Canada. All right. We're not doing it. We're not paying that to Canada. We're not going to pay. They did this in Australia, by the way. We're not going to pay every time someone links through to a news source, the government. So we're just not going to provide links to news anymore. Facebook will not provide. It was Facebook, not YouTube. Facebook will not provide links to news, nor will Google. Amazing. That's just the second best option. You know what would have been the best option for the government? They pay the government. You know what? This might even be the best option. They just won't link through news. So now you got the CRTC prioritizing Canadian content news while Google and Facebook no longer link through. And what do you have? You have a hermit kingdom akin to North Korea that has gotten to North Korean level, Chinese level censorship because you don't have linking to news outlets anymore on the biggest social media platforms, Facebook and Google. You have the government deciding what's discoverable and what's not. And they did it without a war. They did it without a shot fired. They did it without declaring themselves dictators. They did it under the letter of the law. And nobody understands how someone like Schmittler could rise to power through lawful means. Holy crab apple. If you don't choke them economically to pay you for the pleasure, for the luxury of linking through, just because you know the government, it's a privilege to be able to exist in Canada. The government is entitled to taxation on that privilege. It's a freaking mob. It's legalized criminality. If you don't want to pay it, well, good. We'll get it'll better for us. Don't link it. Not only will we then control all tentacles and outlets to news, we get to control which ones to promote and which ones to suppress. And you voted for this, Canada. I didn't vote for this. I ran against this. I ran against this before I ran from this. No. That's it. There's no Schadenfreude in this. There's no machaya. Like when we were growing up, my dad, whenever we would get hurt and my dad would put rubbing alcohol on a wound, knowing that it would hurt a lot more than peroxide, but whenever he did, or we get hurt, you know, we do something stupid, we would get hurt. My dad would rub his stomach and say, machaya. And it was a tongue in cheek, but it's like, good for you. You got what you deserved for being idiots. I ran against this shit. I mean, literally, I ran for federal office. Oh, people think that, oh, I got hammered. Hey, anybody making fun of me for having gotten hammered for running for the PPC, enjoy the hell that you voted for. Enjoy the hell that you're ushering in, because Canada is no longer a free country, if it ever was. And Canadians are going to be secluded into a hermit kingdom where the news they have access to is curated by the government, suppressed by the government, or promoted by the government. And you know who benefits the most from all this other than the government? CBC, even though they already get a billion plus from the government. legacy media who have lost the competition. They're the ones who benefit from this. Government and government-subsidized media institutions. You know who suffers from all of this? All of Canada. CZD says, I think they did it too. LOL, Dance Dance Revolution. Yeah, that was the trucker. Disinformation-oriented, disoriented information. Pasha Moyer, not bad, sir. Master Mulrubius, I don't like cats, but I love that cat. Just another method of gatekeeping, another hurdle for people to get over in order to publish their content, another way to shadow ban anything they don't want distributed. Oh, it could reasonably put Rebel News out of business in Canada. Thank you, sir. May I have another? It might put Rebel News out of business in Canada. Put Post-Millennial out of business in Canada, True North. Hey, not just that. It'll be weaponized against political adversaries. Oh shit! If the conservatives are linking things, yeah, we might have to suppress that. Yeah, the new North Korea. We'll call it New Korea. All right, I think I got everything on Canada. First of all, no one accused me of this. There's other stuff coming out of Canada that I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to touch on today. Speaking of just destruction of language, like it's a tactic. Make language mean nothing. Everything becomes moral relativism. Is that it? Postmodern, there's a word. Just destroy the meaning of words. It's not censorship. It's not censorship. It's promotion or suppression of content. You could still see it if you know it exists. Words mean nothing. And that's how you get away with it. Good. Up is down. Peace is war. Slavery is freedom. Adam Schiff. Get out of here. Is that me? Okay, hold on one second. Adam Schiff. Schiff for brains. Lying McSchiff face. Let's bastardize words. The Supreme Court was packed by Mitch McConnell. It was packed because they didn't like the way the nominations went through, which I can understand. Let's call that packed. Let's call packing the court sticking to the original number and going through the original process, but we didn't like the way it was done because Garland was denied a confirmation hearing, whereas What's-His-Face wasn't. Let's call that packed now. Let's just call that packed so that packed means nothing anymore, so that when we pack the court, like the way it is, in fact, actual packing, well, we don't have to call that packed. We can call it, what do we want to call it? The Supreme Court, to reform it. Oh, yes, we're not packing the court. We're reforming it now. We must expand it. It's not packing. It's expanding. Limit its terms. You might have some people on that. Adopt a code of ethics. You might have other people on that. Otherwise, the loss of reproductive rights is just the beginning. Reproductive rights, they're talking about abortion. And regardless of how you feel about that hot topic subject, one can support abortion to a certain degree and not have the intellectual dishonesty to refer to it as reproductive rights. Like, again, words mean nothing. Abortion is the termination of a pregnancy. Call it what it is, but take the position that you want. Okay, I support abortion to certain limited, objective criteria, so that it doesn't get abused. You can espouse that belief without getting into Orwellian newspeak by calling it reproductive rights. But they can't, because you can't engage in honest discourse. They can't engage in honest discourse. And that's the way that they, continually reframe, redefine, and there can be no objective truth. Terminating a pregnancy is reproductive rights. Death is life. Life is death. Okay. Let us mosey on over to Crumble. Master Mulrubius, what kind of person doesn't like cats? I like cats. I just don't like them as pets because they are beautiful animals. They're like they're lean killing machines, and they're beautiful. And that cat's beautiful. It's got a beautiful coat. The reason why I don't like cats is the reason why I know that they're beautiful. I don't like animals that shed too much. I don't like animals that are not dependent on me for their existence. Maybe I have a weakness. Maybe I like being a caregiver. Cats are like the FU to humans of animals. Like, okay, I'll give you my ass when I want you to scratch it. No, thank you. I want my dogs to be totally dependent, and I want their undying uncompromising loyalty. Cats, I'm pretty sure cats would like, you know, you have a heart attack, a dog is going to like jump on your chest to do CPR. You have a heart attack in front of a cat, I'm sure it'll do like it'll do its number two on you and then try to bury its turd under your shirt. Okay. Review Biden's tweet real quick. He drew a diagram. Hold on. VPN? Are going to make a fortune in Canada? No, they're not. They're going to criminalize VPNs in Canada. I mean, I don't know how they can do it. They're going to criminalize VPNs in Canada. So no. Let me just see if I can't find POTUS's tweet with a diagram. Oh, okay. Hold on a second here. Let's see this. I think I see it. We're going to discover this in real time because I haven't seen this. Put this link here. And then after this, get ready to go over to the Rumbles. Okay, this is it, correct? I hear House Republicans out on TV saying they would never vote to cut veterans' benefits. In case there's any confusion, I made a little chart that could help them out. Did you vote for a bill that cuts domestic spending by 22%? Congratulations. Okay, POTUS's Twitter feed has become a joke. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Maybe it's Maybelline. Master Mall Rubius, we have just aged ourselves thoroughly. Okay, let's go. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Let's go to Rumble. I know some of you still have issues with the user experience. Tweet it at the team. They are making corrections and they are making modifications in real time. And they are aware of it. They're going through growing pains, but they are fantastic. And this is actually going to segue perfectly into our Tucker Carlson. You hear the dog? One of the dogs is making. Winston is having a dream. This flipping camera continues to go. Okay, I want tracking off, and I want it to stay off. You bastard camera. Okay, ending on YouTube. Let's go over to Rumble and then over to Locals now. 3, 2, 1, 1,282 people should be migrating to the land of the free. Rumble, now. Remove. Okay, good. Everybody, I did a carve log yesterday. Yesterday, I didn't get to do a stream because repairs on a garage door, which is finished. It was very noisy, so I didn't want to have noise in the background. Then I was editing together my Chattanooga vlog while that was going on, and there just wasn't enough time in the day. There was time in the day, however, for a car vlog when I took my kids somewhere and I have to sit there waiting in the car like a buffoon for 50 minutes. And it doesn't make a difference. I don't mind because I can work everywhere and anywhere, and it's a blessing. I did a car vlog on Tucker Carlson. We talked about it Sunday night. The media smear campaign against Tucker Carlson is second to none. This entity, this rubbish entity called, what was it called? It had an R in it. Let me see. Tucker Carlson Tatters News. His reputation. Radar Online. Wrote an article that Tucker Carlson's reputation is in tatters. No legacy media outlet will touch him. This is what happens when you have no appreciation of, no understanding of reality. Radar Online. His reputation is in tatters. Tucker Carlson's career in turmoil after Fox News firing, as no major outlets will touch. I don't think Tucker would want to touch a major news outlet. They don't understand. Nobody cares about major news outlets anymore. Tucker Carlson understands this. Fox News doesn't. No, thank you, major news outlets. I don't want to sign up for anything you have to say, Radar Online. In fact, I don't want to read your article, but I need to go over the propaganda in it. They go into this and claim that Tucker Carlson was unceremoniously canned. I won't reiterate my entire car vlog yesterday. I think most of you have seen it. Get out of here. I don't care about this anymore. major news outlets are worthless crap. Fox News is as good as dead. They will be economically dead. If not that, they will be culturally irrelevant if they are not already there. But they think Tucker Carlson's career is in tatters. Tucker Carlson does not need mainstream media. Mainstream media needed Tucker Carlson. And nobody's going to mainstream media for news anymore. The only reason we go there is to know what the enemy is saying and to make fun of them. But the smear campaign against Tucker, it's second to none. Apparently Fox News is leaking video to Media Matters. Now, we'll get into Media Matters in a second. Matt Gaetz, let me just make sure who Matt Gaetz is, senior fellow at MMFA. That's a Media Matters for America. We'll get into Media Matters in a second. Views expressed here are my own, husband, yada, yada, not the congressman. Find out more here. Okay. I guess he gets mad. Fox leaks. So now Fox, in an attempt to retroactively justify their idiotic decision to unceremoniously can Tucker Carlson, apparently there, this is according to MMFA. I don't know how the hell they got this video. According to the MMFA, motherfuckers, they don't know what that stands for, do they? Master Motherfucker Association. That's what I would have something in there. Like, I could make a very good acronym for that. They're saying Fox leaks. Tucker Carlson slammed Fox Nation in behind-the-scenes videos. Oh, so now, actually, I'm just going to go here. I just want to go here. Well, I don't think you get to see the banner. It's called mediamatters.org/Fox News/Fox leaks Tucker Carlson. So apparently Fox News is leaking to Media Matters. Why would this be relevant? We'll get there in a second, George Soros. We'll get there in a second. $1 million from George Soros. We'll get there in a second. Who funds Media Matters? We'll get there. I'm just joking. We just got there, but we'll get there again. So Fox News is leaking to Media Matters. I mean, this is like Fox News hiring Harry J. Sisson. This is like Fox News leaking to Brian Stetler. They leaked this video thinking that it is going to make Tucker Carlson look bad. Let's just watch this for a second, shall we?
I don't want to be a slave to Fox Nation, which I don't think that would be watch anyway. We're going to, because I, you know, I'm like a representative of the American media now. Speaking to an exile in Romania and welcoming him back into the Brotherhood of Journalists.
I'm not 1,000% certain I understand the context, but I understand the essence of this. Tucker Carlson is saying, this is going on my broadcast, which reaches millions. I know it's going on Fox Nation, which nobody watches. And I don't want to do the interview in a T-shirt or something, but we'll get there.
Yeah, it would help us out if he wore a sweater, though, because we asked him not to wear a suit. Like, he was panicking about it, so you don't have to.
Can you imagine someone telling Tucker Carlson not to wear a suit for his own broadcast? I mean, this is the problem as to what happens when you lose creative control over your own product, I guess, but maybe Tucker Carlson didn't. And maybe that's, you know, that pissed off Fox News. Would you mind wearing a sweater? Because I don't care what you like to look like. We told him not to wear a suit and we don't want him to feel uncomfortable. Would you mind wearing an Adidas tracksuit, sir? Because in Eastern Europe, tracksuits are all very common. Would you mind dressing down Tucker Carlson while we put you on our shitty Fox Nation?
It's going to be looking casual. That's just how our show looks.
Can you just imagine someone telling you what to wear for clothing? I mean, first of all, maybe I'm projecting. I wouldn't be this patient. I wouldn't be this. I mean, I might be laughing, but I might be laughing a lot more. This is making Tucker Carlson look like a monster, like a Bill O'Reilly. We'll do it live, monster.
Is that okay?
Would you mind not wearing a suit? Is that okay?
I mean, this is airing on the nighttime show, and I want it to look official. I don't want it to be like bro talk. And I, you know what I mean?
I gotta tell you, Tucker is in this video. You remember the one when he was fishing in Central Park and Joey Boots came up and sort of ambushed him with a camera? He might have been angry. He might have been showing that he was angry through polite discourse. I don't know that there are many people on earth who would keep their cool while being asked to degrade themselves like this.
Yeah, but the majority of it, like if we go like 45 minutes, it's going to be for Fox Nation.
But nobody's going to watch it on Fox Nation. Nobody watches Fox Nation because the site sucks. So I'd really like to just put the dump the whole thing on YouTube.
How does Fox News think this is making Tucker Carlson look bad? Everybody knows that Fox Nation was crap. How does having your biggest draw rightly and accurately complaining about the poor quality of your product, which for some reason you haven't upgraded, how does that make him look bad? That makes him look like a snob? He won't wear a sweater and go on your shitty Fox News, Fox Nation platform?
But anyway, that's just my view. I'm just frustrated with it's hard to use that site. I don't know why they're not fixing it. It's driving me insane. And they're like making like Lifetime movies, but they don't work on the infrastructure of the site. Like, what? It's crazy. And it drives me crazy.
Look at this monster, like, this monster. Tucker Carlson is a monster. Change my mind. I'm joking.
We're doing all this extra work and no one can find it. It's unbelievable, actually. I don't know who runs that site.
We're going to play a sizable chunk on the show tomorrow night. That's the plan. And then what it's going to do is drive a lot of people to watch this on Fox Nation. It's going to be a great help.
It's going to drive people to Fox Nation. They run it on one platform. Driving over doesn't work all the time. And I say this, you know, like I'm driving people from YouTube to Rumble. While Rumble works out their quirks, because Rumble does not hide their head in the sand and say, Rumble says, tell us what we need to improve and we'll do it. And they do it in real time. And I love Rumble. And I love Chris Pavlovsky in the free speech sense.
We're doing over there on TV today.
I know, but we're doing our part. We're like working like animals to produce all this content, and the people in charge of it, whoever that guy's, whatever his name is, like they're ignoring the fact that the site doesn't work. And I think it's like a betrayal of our efforts. That's how I feel. So of course I resent it.
He is 1000% right. This makes Fox look like a buffoon of a company. I just want to Media Matters. Media Matters. George Soros. Hashtag, I'm not an anti-Semite. I just happen to, like, you know, care about facts. Media Matters. This is old. This is old news. This is old news. It's from 2010. Media Matters for America, the not profit you need. Get the latest. No, thank you. Media Matters, a progressive research and information center based in Washington, D.C., has announced a $1 million gift from George Soros, founder and chairman of the Open Society Foundations. In a statement, Soros said he was making the gift, $1 million. His first to the group, was it his last? Because I don't think it was his last, but I don't know that for a fact. Despite assertions to the contrary from Fox News commentators, because the organization's efforts to hold Fox accountable for what he called the false and misleading information to, quote, more widely publicize the challenge Fox News poses to civil and informed discourse in a decent... Isn't this interesting? I mean, this is from 2010, well before Fox News unceremoniously canned Tucker Carlson. I just want to read that again. In a statement, Soros said he was making the gift his first to the group, despite assertions to the contrary from Fox News commentators, because the organization's efforts to hold Fox accountable for what he called false and misleading information and to, quote, more widely publicize the challenge Fox News poses to civil and informed discourse in society. Who would have thunk? This is very curious. Why the hell would Fox News be leaking this information to a Soros-funded entity that had the stated objective of publicizing the challenge that Fox News poses to informed discourse in our democracy? According to the New York Times, while the gift is not large enough to offset the contributions given to outside groups supporting Republican candidates in the midterm elections, it could signal a return to greater involvement by Soros in the 2012 presidential campaign. Isn't it amazing? Life can only be understood backwards, yet it must be lived forwards. Kierkegaard, this all makes a lot more sense 10 years later. And it suggests that liberals intend to continue pressing their case against the flow of undisclosed money into campaigns. George Soros, a philanthropist of the highest integrity, unfortunately knows firsthand what it's like to be grotesquely caricatured and flatly lied about on Fox, said Media Matters founder and CEO David Brock. Media Matters is grateful that he has decided to lend his voice and support our goal of greater journalistic accuracy. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. It's actually kind of totally amazing. So that's what's going on with Tucker Carlson. Media Matters, Fox News is leaking to me. The world doesn't make any sense anymore. Fox News agreed to pay $800 million to Dominion Voting. Fox News then did not renew with Dan Bongino, unceremoniously fired Tucker Carlson, let go of Lou Dobbs. They then leak to a company that is funded by Soros or has been funded by Soros with the stated objective of holding Fox News accountable for its disinformation. What the hell is going on in this world, people? It's crazy. It's totes McCray Cray. I think that is all. Tucker Carlson, was there anything for Tucker Carlson? Yeah, I think that was it for Tucker Carlson. Oh, hold on one second here. Oh, this was just my tweet. Has Media Matters always been incredibly stupid, useful, idiot government propagandists? Is this the same Media Matter that is funded by George Soros? Because if so, that probably answers my first question. That was the article. And this was, oh my goodness. That, thank goodness I remember this one. This, I don't know who, I don't know who the person is. I don't know who this person is. I don't know. There's a lot of things. I'm new to a lot of things. This was on Andrew Lawrence's Twitter feed. Deputy Director of Rapid Response, MMFA, that is Media Matters for America, but views here are my own, 90%, 99% of RTs are endorsements. Wait until we get to that article, people. Just a dean or a professor at a university being reprimanded, potentially fired because he liked some tweets from that guy. I forget his name now. Doesn't matter. We'll get there. RTs, at least for this guy, 99% of RTs are endorsements. What's the video? Let me just... Stop it.
And what we saw...
No, stop it, I said. Tucker Carlson isn't an anti-war pacifist, you nimrods. He literally wants us to invade Canada. So now I'm thinking that this guy is Andrew Lawrence. I don't know. Let's listen to this. Tucker Carlson is a warmonger. He's a war whore. I mean, it's so amazing because he's talking about, you know, questioning the war in Ukraine, questioning America's involvement, subsidizing, provocation of, you know, what might trigger World War III. If you thought he was an anti-war, anti-establishment individual, you're wrong. He's a war whore. I mean, he wants to invade Canada. Let's hear this.
So I have to ask you about Canada and what we saw happen there last winter, the trucker protests, and then the crackdown by the authoritarian government of Canada. What struck you about that?
Yeah. I thought you were going to ask me.
First of all, my body language reading of this man on the left, not Tucker, the other guy, incredible arrogance. Incredible arrogance.
What struck you about that?
I thought you were going to ask me whether Trudeau is Castro's son or.
Let me just undermine. Let me just demean what you just brought up as a legitimate fact by talking about some stupid conspiracy theory. I think it might very well be true, but it's ultimately irrelevant. Although some people might not think. Let me just start by minimizing what you're bringing up as a legitimate point now by talking about some totally unrelated conspiracy theory that Justin Trudeau is actually Fidel Castro. And let me sit back like a pompous. I mean, that's my impression. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not wrong.
He is, and I'm completely in favor of a Bay of Pigs operation to liberate that country. I mean, why should we stand back and let our biggest trading partner, the country with which we share the longest border? And actually, I could just say a great country. I love Canada. I've always loved Canada because of its natural beauty.
It's a beautiful country.
Why should we let it become Cuba? Like, why don't we liberate it? We're spending all this money to...
Too late, Tucker.
Liberate Ukraine from the Russians. Why are we not sending an armed force north to liberate Canada from Trudeau? And I mean it.
Well, I don't know
but that... You don't have to answer
that. I don't know that I'm there yet with you.
I'm just talking myself into a frenzy here.
I was pleasantly...
So I have to ask you about...
This is why... you can't joke with people who are intellectually dishonest. Let's just play the clip again.
Ukraine from the Russians. Why are we not sending beauty? Why should we let it become Cuba? Like, why don't we liberate it? We're spending all this money to liberate Ukraine from the Russians. Why are we not sending an armed force north to liberate Canada from Trudeau? And I mean it.
You see, someone who is intellectually disingenuous will say whatever this guy said. What did he say here? Tucker Carlson is an anti-war. He literally wants to invade Canada. That's what an intellectually disingenuous person would spin this as. Someone who is intellectually honest or just reasonably intelligent would understand exactly what Tucker Carlson is saying. And it's not saying, let's go invade Canada. It's if we have as a principle, we defend citizens from totalitarian regimes, from authoritarians, and we do this in Ukraine, why wouldn't we do it in Canada? Not let's go do it. Hey, let's start wars across the world. This is the logic of those who support the war in Ukraine, America's intervention there. It should hold true equally for the North. Oh, but they actually ran as part of the smear campaign that Tucker Carlson wants to invade Canada. You actually had NDP members in Canada proposing a bill to reprimand Fox News and Tucker Carlson for that very soundbite. Is this thing on my face? No, it's not. You actually had members of Canadian Parliament proposing a bill to reprimand, admonish, I think, Tucker Carlson and Fox News for that quip. Bottom line, Tucker, it's too late. The Canadians have voted in their tyranny, and they have ratified their tyranny, and they have convinced themselves that the tyranny is necessary for their own protection. Okay. But then there was one last thing, actually, forget it. Okay. Okay, I just want to make sure we got everything on Tucker. We have. Good. Now, I did notice some Rumble rants. By the way, everybody, I've said it already. You know, YouTube takes 30% of Super Chats. What was I going to say here? Rumble rants. I'm going to go read them. Rumble is not taking any percent of the Rumble rants for the remainder of 2023. So 100% of it goes to the creator. Thought I was going to say at the end of 2023, they're going to take their traditional 20%. What they're doing right now for creators is just fantastic. Now, Fleet Lord Avatar. Hold on. Is that Fleet Lord Avatar? Or is that I hope that's the original Fleet Lord. No, Viva, those who complained about yelling to your cam in your car were less than 1% of the viewers, and you seem to amplify that in your head. Well, of course, Fleet Lord. Neurotic people amplify the negativity in their own head. Or I should say, you know, obsessive compulsive individuals. I'm aware of it. There's like ways to deal with it, but I'm a stubborn little bastard and just I live with my own foibles. Passion Warrior says, my wife loves the car vlog format. Thanks for doing them. Voce voice, which means the loud voice, need to go listen to Royce White, who is talking about annexing Canada. He claims the Chinese communists are holding military exercises on the Canadian border. Why aren't you reporting on that, Viva? Are you seriously giving me the why? Do you know how many times I've talked about Canada training Chinese soldiers in Canada? Give me that. I mean, I hope you're joking. And if you're not, I thank you for being new to the channel. Why am I not reporting on that? How many times do I have to report on that? I'm not going to do it daily. Here, let me just do it now anyhow. Google Canada training Chinese soldiers. Oh, don't worry. The minister says we're no longer doing it. Here, people. Voce Viva. Shouldn't get mad because some people say he's triggered because I must have struck a nerve. No, don't make silly accusations, or at least you're new to the channel, so welcome. How many times I've gone over this particular article? Canadian soldiers no longer training Chinese troops, defense minister says. This was in 2020. They were doing it. Their explanation was, well, we were doing it under a law that was signed in by the conservatives back in 2010, but we're no longer doing it. They were training Chinese soldiers for wintertime combat on Canadian soil. Set aside the whole Chinese police stations things, which have now been confirmed, despite what Mike Tracy wants to have people believe, they've been confirmed. Chinese police stations in Canada, in the United States, the purpose of which is to torment, survey, threaten, extort Chinese nationals who are living in Canada by going after their family in China. Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan has confirmed Canadian soldiers are no longer training members of the Chinese military amid scrutiny following a report that senior civil servants opposed a decision last year to stop the activity. Yada, yada, yada. Globe and Mail Thursday cited documents mistakenly released under access to, mistakenly, we wouldn't have known about it but for the mistake of government, which said Global Affairs Canada pushed back at the decision by Chief of Defense last year to cancel the training. The training was set to see Canadian soldiers train Chinese soldiers in winter activities at CFB Pitawawa. So yeah, welcome to the channel, Voce, because I've talked about it and will continue to, just not every day because, you know, it's not how things work. All right, that is Tucker Carlson. There's more here. Oh, what are we? I'm looking at my list. Let's go back to Canada. It's related to Tucker Carlson. It's a segue from Tucker to Rachel Gilmore. Some of you may know Rachel Gilmore. I have implored everybody even if you're going to go annoy her on Twitter, be you know, reasonable, respectful about it, but don't do it. Don't harass anybody, because then you just get the victimizers to pretend to be the victims. Rachel Gilmore. Let me see where my tweet is here. Let's just go through some of her gems. This is Rachel Gilmore. Take one. This is why we shouldn't normalize or accept the premise of intolerant ideas like transphobia and far-right extremism. Keep that far-right extremism in mind and what the far-right historically have said about people being cockroaches. If someone doesn't believe in your right to exist and participate in society, you can't debate their ideas. And any middle ground is inherently dehumanizing. Rachel Gilmore. It's Easter weekend and people are spending their day sending me emails defending self-described Nazis. By the way, Rachel, there is a way of actually defending people that you might hate, but we'll talk about that later. We need to take the rise in people defending and using hateful rhetoric seriously. Remember that? Nazis, hateful rhetoric, what the Nazis said about Jews, rats, cockroaches. Remember that. To those out there feeling less safe because of hate, you are loved. And oh my God, what level of pretentious self-glamorization does it take for someone to tweet something like that? To those feeling less safe because of the hate, you are loved. And so, oh my God, is that pretentious? Then we got hatred is so scary, man. I don't even know what the hell that means. And this one, it must be exhausting living with this much anger and hatred. Rachel Gilmore. Remember, dehumanizing rhetoric. Not where I'd expect to find Tucker Carlson to reemerge, but there you have it, folks. Oh, and what do we have here?
He's hungry. Get a photo. Get a photo. Kevin, get a photo. Kevin, get a photo. Yeah. Woo!
It's a Tucker Carlson is a cockroach joke. It's very funny. It's but when she does it, when she uses dehumanizing rhetoric, reminiscent of previous eras of inhumanity, she was just joking. When people make a doctored photo of her starting an OnlyFans, well, that's hatred. When people, anyhow, Rachel Gilmore. But it's not just that. Rachel Gilmore is tackling. What was this one about here? I forget what this one about. Oh, yes, that's right. Huge accounts, you know, talking about people who break the law going to jail. It's dangerous. Holding people to the law is dangerous. But, you know, it's hatred. So much hatred. Oh. Those out there feeling less safe, you are loved. Tucker Carlson is a filthy cockroach. You know what to do, people.
In the last week, two accounts with millions of followers each called for people supporting gender-affirming care and drag to be incarcerated.
Gender-affirming care includes the mutilation of children's genitalia and the administration of drugs, life-altering, physically compromising drugs to children. There are already laws on the books that prohibit that type of conduct. Exposing children to drag shows is arguably pedophilia. There are already laws on the books for that. When did the left become infatuated with exposing children to drag shows? What the hell is going on? Oh, but suggesting anybody enforce our criminal code, which prohibits mutilation of the body, which prohibits pedophilia, which prohibits endangerment of children, exposing them to lewd and lascivious. I don't know if that's the actual term anymore. They're the dangerous ones.
These are the same people constantly defending their freedom to misgender folks, but I digress. Here's the
You digress. Their freedom to misgender folks suggests that they have an obligation not to say what they want to say.
Thing.
By the way, and in Canada, she's not wrong now. Misgendering can be an aggravating factor. It can be a basis for a human rights tribunal complaint.
And folks are four times more likely than cisgendered folks to be victims of violent crimes.
Perpetrated by whom, Rachel? I know you haven't thought about this for very long. Let's assume that this statistic is accurate.
Trans folks are four times more likely than grass. Here's the thing. Trans folks are four times more likely than cisgendered folks to be victims of violent crimes.
Perpetrated by whom, Rachel? I have a sneaking suspicion that even if this statistic is true, That it might have to do with sex work, maybe. And it might also have to do with being victims of crimes by other people within the community. I suspect. I'm not sure if I'm right about this, but I think I am. But Rachel, you cited a statistic. You're an award-winning journalist.
Digress. Here's the thing. Trans folks are 4 times more likely than cisgendered folks to be victims of violent crimes.
By whom? You've identified a problem. Let's just take for granted the statistic is right. If you want to solve that problem, Rachel, you got to know who the perpetrators of the violence are. I suspect it's not people on Twitter saying, I'm not going to refer to you as a he if I think you're a she or vice versa. I suspect it's not Jordan Peterson as an individual or his, I suspect, but I'm sure you've asked these questions already because you're an award-winning journalist.
We're also seeing laws banning drag shows in certain places, which seems like an enforcement nightmare. Will clubs have to kick out anyone wearing a wig or who isn't adequately presenting as the gender they were assigned at birth?
No, Rachel, because kids can't get into clubs. You raging propagandist buffoon. No, because children can't get into bars. Drag shows in bars, in nightclubs, knock yourself out. Do what you like. The issue is not that, Rachel. It's not an enforcement nightmare because kids aren't allowed in bars. Why are you trying to take bar nighttime adult activity and jam it in the face of kids? Have you asked yourself that? It's sick.
Or risk being shut down. And so much of the rhetoric we're seeing is based on outright misinformation.
Let's hear it.
Surgical interventions for trans youth are still uncommon.
All right, so then you should have no problem making it illegal.
Meanwhile, some studies have found that children and teens will self-mutilate to change their anatomy if they can't access gender-affirming care.
That's a problem, if that's true. I don't know what year that study's from, but what do they do after they've had the gender-affirming care, aka medical intervention or surgical? What happens after that? Have you done those studies, Rachel? Have you looked at those? You might want to talk to Billboard Chris.
Rates of people attempting this range from 32 to 50% among trans folks.
This. She can't even say the word suicide because she doesn't want to get censored by the machine. She wants to maintain censorship.
Yes, there are those who detransition, but the rates are quite low. It's part of a broader conversation about responsible, proper access to care. But if you actually care about protecting kids, you'd protect trans kids too.
Oh my goodness. I'll protect trans kids. I'll protect them from sick adults who want to do what you want to do to the kids. Protecting trans kids means not allowing them to do irreparable harm to their own bodies because some sick virtue signaling adult has decided that it's the moral thing for them to promote publicly. Even Rachel, what's her name? Rachel Levine. Get down here. Even Rachel Levine publicly said, I'm glad I didn't get the surgery when I was a kid because then I wouldn't have been able to have my own kids. But now I want to promote something that I'm glad I didn't do when I was a kid and wasn't allowed to do when I was a kid. I want to promote that for children. Stupid camera. Has everyone seen that video? Do I need to pull that video up? Rachel Levine publicly stating how thankful he is that he didn't have his penis removed. I don't even know if his penis is removed now, but he's thankful that he didn't have the surgery or the procedures that would have prevented him from having his own children because it's the biggest joy of his life. But now he wants to go and support a confused child who is incapable of consent, compromise their ability to benefit and enjoy the same joys of life that Rachel himself benefited from. It's inhumane. Yeah. I do care about trans kids, Rachel. That's why I'm trying to protect them from people like you. Trans kids. You know what trans kids are ultimately? They're confused kids. All kids are confused. Going through puberty is confusing. High school is confusing. Life is confusing. Life is confusing. You don't need broken adults fucking up the children. That's done with Rachel. Okay, hold on 1 second. I see Rumble Rants. And then we're going to get on to the next one. She's Co says, YouTube, thank you, bikers. Rolling Thunder 2.0. Whoop, whoop. Dance, dance, revolution. Ah, the dance, dance, revolution. At the corner of Wellington and where the. Voce Voice, I was not trying to get a second Rumble rant. Pardon me, Viva. I guess I don't follow you enough. I have many irons in the fire, in this fire of freedom. Thumbs up. Don't worry. But also, Voce Voice, so we can all learn from that mistake. People need to not be presumptuous and immediately judgmental of other people on social media. What is of one person's concern on that particular day? You know, the idea is that I have these issues as well. My concern today is X. And so the people that I follow, I say, why aren't you talking about X? There's a lot to talk about. There's too much to talk about. There's also too much to know about. And so on the one hand, double check. And also don't be presumptuous. Just not you, but in general. Like everybody's got a lot to deal with. And yes, She's Co says, truckers wanted to go back to work. PSAC wanted to stay in the bed. Funny meme. Check it out. You thank you, truckers, lest we forget. Vicky Lynn, 1974. Why does Rumble allow you to swear on camera and then censor swear words in the chat? I don't know what the censored words are in the chat. And I don't, on YouTube, I only blocked four words, which I think have no practical basis in any human discourse. I have not, to my knowledge, blocked any words on Rumble. So I don't know if it's in the system. I don't know, Vicky Lynn. I can't, but nobody needs to swear anyhow. But I have the microphone. Although I don't know why they do it in the chat. And then maybe it's just for decorum in the chat, but anyway, that's it. I don't know. Can't, the F word? Hold on one second. Let me see if I can't say fuck. Wait a minute. Why can I say it? I said it. Okay, it's in there. I see it. Does everyone see it? I got the crown. Okay, let's see. Why does Rumble let you swear? Need to go listen to Royce White too. Okay, good. Okay. All right. What else do we have? Let's get this out of here now. There's some more stuff to talk about. I don't want to see. Is the underwater camera? Oh, is it still as clear as it was before? Yes, it is. That bait ball. Still there. Oh my gosh. Okay, guys, hold on. I gotta bring this up. We're gonna see an animal get eaten. No, those fish are not gonna. Here, I'll give everybody the link. It's quite relaxing. The water is still clear. Okay, good. Here, let me put this in here so you can all go watch this. Boom shakalaka. Okay, what do we have now? There's more good stuff. I'm just going to go randomly and pick it out of here. Netherlands. Oh, I guess this is related to Canada as well. Netherlands has now allowed euthanasia for minors, terminally ill minors, as young as 1 year old. I mean, it's so... you feel like we're going through the darkest of times. Netherlands has now authorized euthanasia for children aged 1 to 11 and 1 to 12. And my only question is, why stop at 1? Like, people have made the jokes that liberals, progressives, Democrats, they are so pro-abortion, they don't want to say that late-term abortion is should be categorically illegal, medical exceptions aside. They don't want to say that late-term abortions should be restricted. They don't want to place any restrictions whatsoever. They just want to hide behind the stupid, dishonest argument, no medical professional would do it, so therefore we don't need to make it illegal. Where I say, if no medical professional would do it, then make it illegal. They don't want to put any limits whatsoever on abortion, and you get a lot of people on the right, conservatives, or just people with logical continuum of thinking saying, they're going to allow post-term abortions, you know, like delivered baby abortions. And in California, they've sort of gone that direction. They passed this law that says that not that you can abort a baby after it's delivered. That would be inhumane. But they pass a law that says there will be no investigation into babies that die within 1 month of birth. What the hell does that mean? I hope I'm accurately describing it. I'm pretty sure I am, but if I'm not, I'll put that caveat out there so that no one accuses me of disinformation. My understanding of that regulation is that it would prohibit, or not order investigations in the event that there's a baby death within 1 month of delivery. A lot of people say that that's basically post-term abortion. Why limit euthanasia to a one-year-old? I mean, I don't even understand. Is the idea that you can't know if a one-year-old, you know, a newborn to one is terminally ill? Why even stop at one? Just let's kill them whenever the parents say so. I'm reading from the article. It says the new regulations would apply to terminally ill children who are in unbearable pain from their disease. And I hope it's a cumulative end, for whom palliative care can't bring relief. According to the Dutch Health Ministry, this would apply to, quote, a small group of 5 to 10 children a year. If the child can't provide consent, euthanasia can still go ahead with the parent's permission in consultation with a doctor. I mean, we have to understand what this means. If the child can't provide consent, first of all, legally, a child can never provide consent. That's why they have parents or what's the word I'm looking for? Caregivers, you know, to provide consent. A 12-year-old cannot provide consent legally. Now, they might be able to provide it verbally. Is that to say that a 10-year-old can say, I want to die, I want to be euthanized, I'm in unbearable pain, and I'm going to get to this, palliative care can't bring relief. So then the doctor and parents are going to say, okay, well, you can consent, not legally, but you can verbally consent. And if this says, if the child can't provide consent, are they talking about kids who can't speak, like a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, who is physically unable to actually express language? They can't consent. So the parent and the doctor can say, yeah, this 5-year-old, you're done for. Let's go ahead and do it. Now, I want to highlight because I am not against the right to end one's life as an adult when there's no reasonable prospect. And I don't even know what that is anymore because miracles happen, but that's not my decision to make. I'm not against this euthanasia to prevent, you know, undue suffering from someone who's got pancreatic cancer and has nothing but misery to look forward to for the next 3 months of their lives. But when the criteria becomes the palliative care can't bring relief, people don't seem to understand. They are predicating euthanizing children on the capacity of the system to provide proper palliative care. And in systems of universal health care, well, sometimes the government can't even provide regular health care, let alone proper palliative care. And so you get people opting for suicide, government-sanctioned murder, basically, euthanasia, because the government can't provide proper health care. I mean, in Canada, I won't pull up the studies. Voce Voice, if you're watching, you know, I've talked about this multiple times. Canada, in expanding the euthanasia laws, actually, CBC 2017, or it might have even been more recent, ran an article saying, don't worry, medical assistance in dying is actually going to save us money. When you have the factor being the incapacity of the public healthcare system to provide the proper palliative care as one of the criteria for euthanizing a human, well, all that you're doing is killing the human to compensate for the government's incompetence. And it's not hyperbole. It's not conspiracy theory. You had studies coming out of Canada saying, radically expanding medical assistance in dying might actually save us money. And then you have it happening. There was a woman in Ontario euthanized because she couldn't find adequate housing because she suffered from multiple chemical sensitivity, MCS, also known as severe allergies. She couldn't find proper housing. She said, I want to be euthanized because I can't find proper housing, adequate housing, and the government can't provide it for me. She was killed by the government. These are not hypotheticals anymore. You got veterans calling up Veterans Affairs with PTSD being recommended medical assistance in dying, government-sanctioned murder. Why? It's cheaper. There were other cases. That famous Simons commercial, Beauty and Everything, I think is what it was called, celebrating the decision of a woman to end her life. She wasn't even terminally ill, the woman in that video. The woman at the source of that story suffered from, like, I think it's arterial tightening. She was suffering from a very painful condition that in some cases resulted in a lowered life expectation because you could have internal bleeding because of the hardening of the arteries. She wasn't terminally ill. She just couldn't get adequate health care in Canada. And they put to death by the government. And then you got Simons, the clothing store, paying a tribute to her decision to end her life, calling it Beauty and Everything. I don't, you know, use biblical language. It's hell on earth. This is Sodom and Gomorrah level inhumanity, depravity. Let's kill children because they can't get proper palliative care because our universal shitty healthcare system run by the government that's now deciding whether or not you live or die, it's cheaper for them. Okay, hold on one second. I see, going to go back to Rumble Rants for a second because I see something and I don't know what it is. Amonzine 512, Viva, I'm glad to hear you're losing your temper a bit on the subject of transgender affirming care for children. We should all be angry. It's child genital mutilation. It is. Okay, it is. Some people go, oh, what's your take on circumcision? Piss off with that argument. I mean, I'll have an argument with Styx Hexenhammer any day of the week. Mutilation means that it impedes with the proper functioning of genitalia. Snipping off a foreskin, set aside the religious argument, because I'm not one to invoke religious arguments as justification for practices. Mutilation means impeding the proper functioning of something. It's not mutilation, in my view, and I'll agree to disagree if someone says it is mutilation. Snipping off the foreskin does not impede the proper functioning of the penis, period. Clipping your nails does not impede the proper functioning of your fingers. Putting piercing your ear does not impede the proper functioning of your ear. So that's it. If we disagree on that, we know where we disagree. Puberty blockers in developing kids going through puberty, it irreparably fucks up their body, period. And it just puts a pause on puberty. Bullshit, it doesn't. It compromises their skeletal development, their muscular development, their hormonal development. It makes them, in some cases, sterile. In other cases, it actually affects the growth of the penis, where even if they come off puberty blockers, from what I understand, they're incapable of achieving orgasm as adults. Anybody who says that puberty blockers, just put a little pause on puberty. When you're ready to get back to that at 18, well, they will take you off the puberty blockers and no harm, no foul. No, that's not how it works. It's a bloody lie. And anyone who publicly made that lie deserves to get called out on that lie. It is genital mutilation to lop off the breasts of a young girl because there is permanent impeding of the proper functioning of those genitalia. And yes, people, breasts are genitals. Cutting off a penis is genital mutilation, period. An adult who decides to do it in full awareness of fact and law, they can do whatever they want to their body. Some people might say a doctor shouldn't do it, whatever. Anybody who says it's not genital mutilation is suffering from a wild, radical, intellectually debilitating form of intellectual dishonesty virtue signaling. And trans kids, in as much as we've identified kids as being trans, deserve protection, and it's protection from that. Amonzine 512 is now a monthly supporter. Enjoy the rook or the castle, Amonzine. Oh, Urizin 33 says, we did not see your F word in the chat. Interesting. Okay. On the subject of gender-affirming care being child genital mutilation, gender-affirming care being gender-affirming hysterectomies, that is mutilation. Removing your ovaries is impeding the proper function of those organs. And by the way, some people say it's the distinction between female genital mutilation as well. FGM impedes the proper functioning of the vagina by scarring the clitoris, etc. Some people are going to say, okay, well, you're scarring the tip of the penis by removing the foreskin. We will have to agree to disagree there. I've been circumcised my entire life. It was so painful that I couldn't walk for a year, but a boom tis. That's the old joke. I got circumcised. It was so painful. I couldn't walk for a year. It does not impede the proper functioning of my genitalia. Now, there are some people who say, okay, now I was going to get into way TMI. I'm not going to do that. For those out there who say that hormone blockers, gender-affirming hysterectomies, gender-affirming double mastectomies, gender-affirming bottom surgeries is not genital mutilation, well, we'll disagree with you there. But there's a man who's now having to grovel. He's now having to kiss the ring of Big Brother and say, I love Big Brother, because I saw this story. I'll get to the tweet. I forget. Oh, no, Berenson, Alex Berenson. Thomas Jefferson, president, quote, should have known better, says the CEO in a note to the systems community. Quote, at his level, he is held to a higher standard and should have known better. Joseph D. Caccione wrote in a message Sunday to Jefferson faculty. What do you think he did, by the way, guys? He should have known better, that monster. What did he do? He liked some of Alex Berenson's tweets, criticizing COVID response, critiquing some aspects of the COVID methodology. He liked tweets in which Alex Berenson referred to gender-affirming care as genital mutilation. That bloody monster. The chief executive officer of Thomas Jefferson University said he was, quote, disappointed in President Mark Tkaczynski's, quote, careless use, end quote, of his Twitter account, in which he, quote, liked, end quote, tweets that questioned the science of COVID-19 vaccines and called gender reassignment surgery child mutilation. Oh, he wasn't even talking about puberty. He was talking about surgery. So apparently surgerizing children's genitalia for cosmetic purposes or psychological purposes, not for any medically necessary physiological purpose, I don't know what that is. It's not, apparently it's not child mutilation anymore. It's totally do no harm practice of medicine. Quote, at his level, he is held to a higher standard and he should have known better. Yada, yada, yada. We already got that. Tykachinsky is a Yale educated molecular immunologist. What the hell would that bum know? Who is he to know what he wants to like on Twitter when it comes to, like, you know, COVID vaccines? He's only a Yale educated molecular immunologist and an academic leader who was elevated from provost to president on July 1st, and he has worked at Jefferson for 16 years. He reports to Caccione, who oversees the entire Jefferson enterprise, including health systems, yada, yada, yada. Caccione's email to the Jefferson community, which included a letter of apology, groveled to Kaczynski. If you didn't learn something from the incident, surely what you should take away is that you should apologize to the people who are abusing you, because they'll accept your apology. Not. It contained an apology from Tykachinsky the day after the Inquirer published a story in which employees and others were critical of Tykachinsky's like history. Can you imagine this? It's not Stalinism. It's not Maoism. It's just Maoism 2.0. You liked a tweet. Oh, my goodness. Setting aside the fact that liking a tweet doesn't necessarily mean agreeing with the message, but let's even set that aside. They were critical of Tykachinsky's like history, which identifies him as president. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. 2 years after their introduction, the mRNA COVID vaccines have proven to be what we all should have expected, said Berenson in a tweet, who was once called the pandemic's wrongest man. Wow. Another in a long line of overhyped, rushed, profit-driven big pharma flops with weak long-term efficacy and lousy side effect profile. That was among the nearly 30 tweets. He liked 30 tweets by Berenson. Oh, my goodness. That remained on his list. Some others didn't, including one calling gender reassignment surgery child mutilation. His like was removed. Of Tykachinsky's 539 likes that existed before the Inquirer story was posted, 348 remained by early afternoon. By mid-afternoon, it was down to 203. Dude is in panic mode, and you make your worst decisions when you're in panic mode, because what are you doing when you delete likes? You are confirming, ratifying what is being accused of you as being immoral, problematic conduct. You're not going to placate this monster, Tykachinsky. There's nothing you're going to do or say that's going to satisfy this monster, because they want you. The fact that you're a white man, 70 years old, is not going to help you. They want you. They want you to lick their boot. They want you to grovel over your wrong think, and they will still destroy you even after you do it. And if you didn't believe me before, I'm sure you know better now. Tykachinsky, yada, yada, he liked the tweets to bookmark them to learn more about the subject of a particular viewpoint. I regret my lack of understanding of how liking a tweet is an implied endorsement, he told the Inquirer. I also regret how my lack of understanding of the Twitter platform caused some to question my views on... You know what his answer should have been? Fuck off. Sorry, you can't say that on Twitter. Piss off. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to tell me what I can think, what I can say, what I can like? Go to hell. That should have been the response. I can say this as a position of not being 70 years old and you know, reliant on, I don't want to have my career tarnished at this late age. Maybe by licking that boot, they'll let me go. You know better, Tykachinsky. Piss off. Don't tell me what to think. Let me channel a little bit of, Gerald Celente. Let me channel a little bit of Gerald Celente. Who the hell are you to tell me what to do? Who the hell are you to tell me what to think? Oh, you want me to apologize for liking a tweet? And the tweet wasn't like calling for someone's death. It wasn't Kathy Griffin holding Donald Trump's head. By the way, even if someone had liked that tweet, apologizing for it afterwards is somewhat disingenuous, because you liked it for a reason. The response, the courageous response, piss off. I got free speech in this country. And if you want to sanction me for liking a tweet, that is not a morally reprehensible, violence-inducing, violence-inciting tweet, do it. I'll see you in court. The bottom line, though, the courts might not do anything. All right, well, here's the problem. You've bent over to the machine. You've taken the knee to the beast, and they were never going to let you go in the first place. In his letter of apology to Jefferson community, Tikhachinsky said he does not believe vaccines are harmful, and he noted that he and all that's not going to be enough. Oh, I'm sorry, you're vaccinated too? That's such an anti-vaxxer thing to say. That's like, oh, I'm not racist. I have black friends. I'm not anti-Semitic. I have Jewish friends. That's such a racist and anti-Semitic. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I took two of these things. I was going to say, I took two of these jabs. Oh, that's such a thing an anti-vaxxer would say. You need to take one every day to prove that you're not an anti-vaxxer. Listen to this. I understand my lack of knowledge of the platform. Yeah, he wrote, please be assured that this will be a learning experience. No, they didn't want you to learn. They wanted you to grovel so they could execute you anyhow. But Jessica Lingel, or Lingel, Jessica Lingel, an associate professor of communication and gender, sexuality, and women's studies. You thought Jessica was going to accept your apology, Tikhachinsky? What did you learn? Let me pull up the meme of Stewie Griffin giving the baseball to the kid with the bat and changing for the bat, and then he hits the kid over the head with the bat and takes the ball. Now, what did you learn? What did you learn, Tikhachinsky? You thought the associate professor of communication and gender and sexuality and women's studies who wants you out was going to accept your apology? No, she was always and only going to use it against you. Oh, what did she say here? She was critical of his response to being asked by the Inquirer if he thought transgender surgery was child mutilation. His answer should have been an unequivocal no, she said. Wrong, Jess. Wrong. His answer should have been an unequivocal yes, it is. And if you think it's not, you are the monster and you should be fired. Oh my goodness. She's telling him what his answer should have been. It's not only wrong think. Here's what you should say. I love Big Brother. Say it, Winston. Say it and we'll let you go. 2 + 2 = 5. I love Big Brother. His answer should have been an unequivocal no, she said. Instead, he told the Inquirer, this is not my clinical area of expertise. In general, any issue involving children should be referred to clinical experts at children's hospitals who offer the full complement. Oh, no, that's not what his response should have been. If it's me, my response is, yes, it's child mutilation. Any doctor that does it should have their license revoked. Any doctor that does it, I should know which doctors to avoid in the future. His pussyfoot disingenuous answer is because he doesn't want to stand behind his convictions. It's not my area of expertise. I'm sorry. I don't need to be an expert to know that you don't chop off the breasts of 15-year-old girls. I know that. I'm not a doctor. If they do not have breast cancer, it's not something you do. His answer should have been no. He's not going to get rewarded for not taking a stance. Lingel said, you shouldn't need specialized understanding in pediatric care to recognize that chopping off a kid's penis or boobies is never... I'm sorry. No, that's not what she said. That trans-affirming care is simply part of healthcare. Well, I guess when abortion is part of reproductive rights, words no longer have meaning. And part of their well-being. Hey, Lingel, stay the hell away from my kids. Stay the hell away from everyone else's kids. Oh, I'm sorry. She's a associate professor of communication and gender, sexuality, and women's studies, and she's now giving unequivocal medical advice? That makes sense. It's not a radical stance to say that trans-affirming care is not mutilation for children or anybody. Yes, it is. It's a radical stance to say that cutting off children's developing penises and breasts is child mutilation. Yada, yada, yada. Caccione and his message further went on to emphasize that a diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment, and then diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment is fundamental to Jefferson's missions of the COVID-19 vaccines saved countless lives. Jefferson followed all guidelines, including requiring its employees and students to be vaccinated, he wrote. Well, Caccione, you might be the monster. Okay, so hold on one second here. We found a way to circumvent the ban on the F word. The ingenuity of the internet. Voce Voice says you could say F off on Twitter and other platforms by spelling it like this. Oh, you have to pronounce it differently, though. That's fuck off. Let's say fuck off. Daxaman says spread the word NCI, National Citizens Inquiry. I'm testifying on May 18th. I don't think I can do it in person. Um, Russport, or that's Russport or Ruse Sport 1. Viva Chill. Can you please put a digital clock with calendar on the shelf behind you so we can always know when your show is produced? You're at stock level. What does stock level mean? I don't know what that means. But that's not a bad idea, actually. I take for granted you can always get that information in the broadcast date, which is already always embedded in the streams, which it is, but that's not a bad idea because that way when people snip and clip. Oh, shit. You know what the problem is now? You make me want to do that, but then I'm going to regret all of the time that I haven't done it. And so it's easier to live with that mistake than to correct it now. How's that for being aware of loser think? Okay, I'll think about it. And it's not a bad idea. That's Russport. Amonzine512 says, Viva, I'm glad to hear you're losing your temper a bit on the subject of transgender for me. Care. We should all be angry about this. Okay, I got that before. All right, there's more. There's more people. We're not done yet. We had a really big show. Really big show. What was Dom Luker's? Oh, there was some more on Harry Kissin. Perfect segue. The things that have been debunked. Let's go over here. Aaron Rupar, people. Hold on. Before we get in. Oh, no. Hold on. Did I say Aaron Rupar? Don't look at the tweet. Aaron Rupar is defined in the Urban Dictionary as a lying sack of shit who deceives people for a living in the name of his political ideology. Every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Goebbels was a real Rupar. He shameless lied and smeared everyone opposing Hitler. So, okay, it's kind of funny just because like the Urban Dictionary is crowdsourced or whatever it is. But there literally is an entry for a Rupar when you deliberately misrepresent the news. Let's go over here and just see. Don't say it yet, Ron Johnson. This is how Aaron Rupar, journalist, sign up for my newsletter, public notice, link below. At your own risks and peril, people. He's a journalist. This is what he had to say about Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson is on right-wing TV. What's the right-wing TV? Just the News? Okay, if you say it's right-wing TV, I guess that means that they're opposed to genital mutilation for children. He's on right-wing TV promoting the debunked notion that people who get COVID vaccines are immediately dropping dead. It's going to take me a long time to forgive Wisconsin for inflicting this guy on us for 6 more years. Okay, so let's just see if Ron Johnson suggested or stated that vaccines are immediately causing people. Let me rephrase. Let's see if Ron Johnson said that people who get the shot are immediately dropping. Let's hear if that representation or that summary of what Ron Johnson said is accurate. Given the Urban Dictionary of Rupar, it's not going to be accurate. And spoiler alert, it's not accurate.
On the VAERS system right now, we have over 35,000 deaths attributed to the COVID-19 vaccine world.
35,000 deaths attributed to the COVID vaccine because that's how the VAERS system works. Not definitively associated causally with the vaccine, attributed. And by the way, he's right.
Wide, 25% of those deaths are occurring either on the day of vaccination or within 1 or 2 days.
Hey, Rupar, you understand the difference between saying people who get shot, the jab, are dropping dead versus saying of the people who filed reports? Because it says date of the date of the jab, date of the adverse event. Ron Johnson is simply stating facts that are demonstrably true on the VAERS system itself, which up until COVID used to be the bellwether of signals for vaccine adverse reactions. It used to be. So, Rupar, you're living up to your Urban Dictionary name. I won't repeat it because I don't tend to call people lying sacks of shit, but the Urban Dictionary does. You're living up to your Urban Dictionary definition, Rupar, but let's just let him finish here.
35,000 deaths, over 1.5 million adverse events, and there are two complaints about VAERS. It doesn't prove causation. That's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rupar, I thought you said he was saying that people drop dead after getting the shot. Oh, no. You're a liar, Aaron. You are a liar.
Again, 25% of the deaths occurring on day 0, 1, or 2, and it dramatically understates the number of adverse events. So I have been beside myself since, about March of 2021, as I started tracking the deaths when there were a couple thousand, have just filed those right up to 35,000 deaths. And there's a collective silence on the part of our federal health agencies, the mainstream media, the big tech social media giants, and quite honestly, pretty much across the board. Wow. On the VAERS system.
Now we've seen it. Let's just go back and reread. Aaron Rupart, the lying sack of SHI Tizzle, as defined by Urban Dictionary. Ron Johnson is on right-wing TV promoting the debunked notion. Oh, it's been debunked? That people who get COVID vaccines are immediately dropping dead. He didn't say that. Therefore, what you suggest has been debunked is not even the statement that he made. But by the way, none of it's been debunked. And Rupar, I doubt you've seen my interview with Jessica Rose. You should go watch it. If you're watching this, I doubt you're watching this either because you're too much of a Rupar to actually watch accurate, insightful assessments. It's going to take me a long time. Oh, yeah. Nobody gives a crap what's going to take you anything, Rupar. Oh, by the way, so I just replied. Debunked. Everything he said is 100% accurate. He even weighed his words. Siri dictate. God. And said attributed to and not caused by FYI adverse events of special interest. 1 in 800. Are you some kind of damn moron, A2? Are you some kind of damn moron? And in case anybody thinks that I'm making my stuff up, published in PubMed, serious adverse events of special interest following mRNA COVID-19 vaccination in randomized trials in adults. What were the numbers? 10.1 and 15.1 per 10,000. This was in Pfizer and Moderna, respectively. Do you know what that averages out to? 12.1 per 10,000? Let me just see this here. What is 10,000 divided by 12.5? Oh, it's 1 in 800. Rupar, you're a very, very bad man, and you actually, through your lies and through your lies and misrepresentations, you have actual blood on your hands. That's all I have to say about that. All right, then we got some short ones here. Hold on, I forgot to bring this up when dealing with the Harry J. Sisson. Not all Gen Zers are idiot lying propagandists. Check out this guy. This guy, I came across him on Twitter, and I think I'm following him. Bryland Hollyhand. That is one heck of a name, sir. Bryland Holly. Hey, guys, I think you've got your facts wrong. Kamala Harris, both of you endorsed this week for re-election, called 18 to 24-year-old, a.k.a. Gen Z, stupid. Her words, not mine. Next time, before you throw stone in glass houses, you should check what your party's leaders say. Look at this guy. I like this.
The Republican Party doesn't understand about Gen Z is we don't like you. You claim you want to appeal to Gen Z, but you call us stupid, you say we're dumb, you say we're indoctrinated. I promise it's a losing strategy.
Hey guys, Brian Hollihan here, 16-year-old conservative commentator, founder and editor-in-chief of the Truth Gazette. You know, you both falsely claim,
like this guy,
in your video that the Republican Party is calling our generation Gen Z stupid, but in fact, it's actually quite the opposite. Kamala Harris, the current vice president of the United States, who both of you just endorsed this past week for re-election, word for word called 18 through 24-year-olds, a.k.a. our generation Gen Z, stupid. Her words, not mine. Take a look.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
I disagree with her on that. We should all be calling her out on that. But guess what? You guys won't, because you take a paycheck from the DNC.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Brylan, they take a paycheck from pallet management. Who takes it from the DNC? Come on, man. Come on. I'm joking.
Maybe next time, before you throw stones and glass houses, you should take a look at what your own party's leaders are saying.
I like that guy.
The Republican Party does.
Not those guys again. Bryland Hollyhand. I like him. That was one thing that we don't want to forget. Oh, the camera is back to tracking my face again. All right, let's just go. Random tweet. Why did I take? This is from Dom Luker. Breaker of narratives. Harry Sisson and Chris Pallett's management team were paid over $200,000 in October 2022. That explains why Brooklyn Dad is being paid less. President Obama took a video with Harry Sisson a few days after the payments on October 31st, 2022. Is Biden preparing Harry to lead? It's good stuff. Okay. Random notes here. What do we got? Kinzinger. Oh, Adam Kinzinger. Oh, this was from last week. I never got to this one. This is Kinzinger. Can you imagine? Hold on. Let me refresh this. 23.6 million views to. Oh, no. So that was up to date. The world will move on. Bye bye, Tucker. Don't let the door hit you. Oh, he's such a sassy little biatch. 23.6 million views on this tweet video alone. And Adam Kinzinger thinks that he's proving a point that the world doesn't care about Tucker Carlson. Holy crap. Are you just a jealous, petty little man, Adam Kinzinger? That was from last week. I wanted to get that last week. Okay, what was this one? Okay, this is the article, Thomas Jefferson. We got to this. Dudes, I think we're almost done here. Oh, yeah. We're going to end on stop tracking me, you bastard camera. Hold on. No, what is that? Okay, that's fine. Bring it over here. Someone in the chat said I had to move my Rumble statue over a few inches, which I did, so I hope that's better now. I take the constructive criticism that I see in the chat seriously. There we go. Damn camera. Ugh. Has that been here the entire time? Why didn't anybody tell? I'm joking. I knew that was there. Okay. This is fantastic, people. They treat you like idiots, and they get their minions who are paid indirectly by them to treat you like idiots. Look at this. On the subject of, I'm not getting paid by the DNC, but my goodness, are they shills? Are they bots? Or are they NPCs? That's the question. Dark Brandon. Oh my God, the left can't meme. And I say this not as someone who considers themselves to be on the right. The left can't meme because they see their sense of virtue has taken over their sense of humor. And you can't actually have self-deprecating humor, which is what it takes to make good memes, when you take yourself too seriously. Dark Brandon is the most idiotic meme to try to embolden the geriatric. And he is senile. I'm not saying this to be mean. When I said, like, Joe Biden, my grandmother had early onset dementia. She was actually diagnosed with early onset dementia in her 80s. And then she still lived another 20 some odd years. Oh, she lived nearly 20 years. I know what it looks like. I know what it's like when they don't know where they are, when they forget where they are momentarily. I know what it's like when they can access distant memories, but not recent ones. I know what it's like when they say the same thing over and over again, or they say something wildly out of context. I know what it's like. This guy's running for president for another four more years in 2 years. I mean, it's not a joke. It's a tragedy. This Joe Biden, much like Fetterman, much like the children who are being victimized by these sick adults who think that they're virtuous, they need protection where they're getting exploitation. Dark Brandon. So go to the top one here. This is from POTUS. Dark Brandon made an appearance at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Brian Krasenstein. Breaking last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Dark Brandon emerged to the shock of the crowd. The history of Dark Brandon's phone. Okay, good. Lincoln Project. Dark Brandon rises again. Ed Krasenstein, Brian Krasenstein's brother. Republicans came up with the Let's Go Brandon chant, which in my opinion was just silly. So what did the left do? They took their meme and turned it into Dark Brandon. Oh, wow. It's genius. The Democrats, give it up for Dark Brandon. Brad, I checked these accounts. These are like actually big accounts. Dark Brandon brings down the house at the White House Correspondent Dinner. Aaron Parnas, I voted for Dark Brandon in 2020. I'm voting for Dark Brandon in 2024. Yeah, and there's no cure for stupid, but there are consequences to it. Victor Shee, I'm 20 years old, and I think this 80-year-old who put on aviators and literally unleashed Dark Brandon is pretty cool. Who agrees? I think you are a bot or a shill or an NPC. I don't know anymore. The outcome is the same. What do we got down here? Fuck, I love my president. Don't fuck with Dark Brandon. He legit brought sunglasses. Santiago Meyer. We memed Dark Brandon's into existence. And oh my God. Aaron Ruper. You make it a second appearance today. LMAO. That stands for laughing my ass off. Biden leaves the podium by putting on shades and making a Dark Brandon reference. Who is it amazing to? Other than juvenile idiots who are trying to make reality instead of reflect reality. The Dark Brandon meme is a joke. Do we all remember? Hold on one second. Hold on. Time Magazine, Joe Biden. Do we all remember this cover? Oh, yeah. Look at this. Look at this badass taking on Putin. Oh, here. Look at this. Oh. The man, he's in control of everything. He's staring down Putin. He's going to show Putin who's who and what's up. Yeah, that really worked out. First of all, even in this Photoshop, even if it's like Vaseline covered image, he still looks like he's suffering from what I've seen people suffer from. It's a joke. It's a joke. They're trying to talking about willing into existence the meme, they're trying to will into existence a narrative in which Joe Biden is not a demented, senile buffoon who is literally walking the world into World War III. Corrupt, demented, senile, good person, according to Harry J. Sisson. I'm sure he knows a lot about Joe Biden's predilections. It's a joke. All right. And then we got M. Geist. Hold on one second. Oh, we're going to end it on this. This is beautiful. Mehdi Hassan, the author of How to Win Every Argument. He's found out how to win every argument. Disable comments, people. Mehdi Hassan, he had a rough week because he got community noted. And then when he tried to complain about the community notes, he got community noted again. Where was the tweet itself? Did I reply to? And now, what does Mehdi Hassan do? Well, he continues to go on to win every argument by disabling replies on his own inaccurate false tweets. It was an ultimate kick of irony. Win every argument. The art of debating, persuading, and public speaking. And if you can't win the argument, run away from the argument, because you win every argument that you avoid. As if the purpose of honest, sincere intellectual discourse should be to win an argument and not to arrive at the truth, it's telling. What's also telling? Did I just shut down my entire stream? Oh, I thought I shut down the entire stream. What's also telling? Mehdi Hassan is so bloody intellectually dishonest that when the poo-poo doesn't go his way, disable comments and go on talking. Go on talking to your crowd. Okay, people. I've got to pee, but I'm going to hold it in. I'm going to go bring out the locals link and we're going to move it on over to locals. But before we go there, I did bring this up. I know it's in the back. I'm going to play us out with something and then I'm going to publish it this afternoon. If you were following us on locals, you would have already seen this video, my vlog going to Chattanooga. What was I going to say? So I'm going to publish this on my Viva Family channel. There is going to be behind the scenes content plus on locals. We're making a documentary of our meet and greet in Chattanooga, the day I spent with Robert going over the history of Chattanooga, the riverboat tour that we had with our meet and greet. There's going to be a documentary that's going to be offered for free to everybody who's an annual subscriber, for free with an annual subscription and on a pay to view basis. So stay tuned for that. But I'm going to play you some of it here. I'm just going to play the beginning and the end. And then I'm going to go over to locals. Very loud. Head on over to locals, people. Chattanooga's beautiful. The plane was too small. I'm not supposed to see an engine of a plane while I'm on it.
It is our pleasure to welcome you to Chattanooga. The local
okay. Get to Chattanooga. I go to a Sunset Lookout. No, Sunset Rock for a hike. I go to what is it called? A souvenir shop. Look at this. This
Mountain
is fun.
Memories. First stop, gonna get some souvenirs before I forget. Gifts to the kids, and then gonna go to the hike spot. But so far, this drive has been amazing.
It's totally scenic, windy road.
I'm going to go ahead and anticipate and predict that this played a very key role in wars of times past. Let's see what they have in the story.
And I'm going to show you something right now.
These are bullet heads. Oh. And these are pennies. And these are buttons from Civil War uniforms.
You got to wait for the end part. So this shop was amazing. The woman owned it in her family for about 100 years. She lost half of the property when the bank took it during the Great Depression.
Civil War buttons.
These are arrowheads. Okay. But check this out. You got to check this out. And okay.
Oh, that is cool.
That it's so cool. The sword. It's a Civil War sword.
Goodness.
On the bottom.
Well, I can't get the sword. I won't get back on a plane with it. It's a Confederate $20 bill.
A commercial
is an amazing thing.
Kiss. Whether it's filled or followed.
Okay, bye-bye.
How much does that cost?
Okay, so I really wanted to get the cannonball.
Civil War cannonball.
I really wanted to get the cannonball, but I couldn't. took out the wrong one. I wanted to get the cannonball, but it was $900 of this. I got the Confederate $20 bill. It was only, it was $95, and I don't think it's good currency anymore. I got the Indian head pennies, two of these, and I got one bullet. This was a package. One bullet that was dropped, apparently, because it's intact. One bullet that was fired because it's deformed. And this stuff here, I forget what they called it. Kid took off the thing. It was the food that soldiers used to eat, like a cracker type food that was heavily cooked so that it would be dry and not rot. I got that. But just to whet your appetites on what the documentary is going to look like.
I'm going to go pick up Robert Barnes.
This is the next day.
He sent me an itinerary for a day today, which consists of seeing, I don't know, a dozen historical sites.
He actually emails me this
list. It's going to be amazing. Gonna go pick them up, have breakfast, and hit all of the sites one after the other from 9 to 5.
Oh, oi,
Robert, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Okay, so what's the plan for today?
Oh, I thought
we're just driving from one spot to another.
Yeah, I'll just let you document it. I'll talk about it.
Now, what's it? It's classic.
You're born and raised in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Are we gonna go by your house?
Yeah.
But you ran the city.
Now that adult gift store has been there forever. That place has been there forever. He's like parked big here forever.
We're going through the ridge.
Yep, we all do Mystery Ridge. And I look through this every single day from the time I was 2 to 22.
We have reached Barnes's birth house.
We're at Denton's barbershop. This is where Robert used to go back in the day. He no longer goes there for obvious reasons.
I made sure that Robert was comfortable with that joke. It was the obvious joke. I mean, it wrote itself. Okay, people, we're heading over to Locals right now. VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com. Barnes is cigarless, says Whiskey Horn. He didn't smoke a cigar. I think he had one on the boat, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure, actually. Wait, Bears and Viva. Barnes and Met in real life. Yeah, no, dude, we've met in real life a few times now, LOL Canadian. All right, go. Meet you at Locals. Enjoy the day. Let me see what the Deerfield Beach is looking like here. Oh, is it still looking good? Damn right, it's looking good. Oh, the lookdown fish are everywhere. My goodness. Okay. All right, let's go over to Locals. I'm going to end it on Rumble. Thank you for being here. It's Tuesday. We're probably going to have a sidebar tomorrow, so let's do it. Ending as I go to live stream end options on Rumble. See you on Locals, people. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for everything. Snip, ship, Claire, and snip, clip, share, and like. You know what to do. And I will see you all tomorrow. End on Rumble now.